Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Singing, as we experienced throughout this beautiful service, is powerful. I learned that in an unexpected way some years ago from Roberto Melendez, or as I knew him, Staff Sergeant Roberto Melendez. Staff Sergeant Melendez was the Marine Corps drill instructor whose job it was to whip into shape a group of young naval chaplain candidates, including yours truly. Staff Sergeant Melendez would begin the day, every day, the same way. Having lined us up outside of our barracks at the crack of dawn, he would ask, "Any of you ever hear of jazzercise?" And having learned fairly quickly that saying yep or simply nodding your head was not a sufficient way to answer when addressed by your drill instructor, we instead looked straight ahead and replied in one voice, "Yes, Staff Sergeant." And then Staff Sergeant Melendez would smile, a tight, knowing smile, and say, "Well, you about to learn Melendez-size." And then he would take us out for a run, a very long run. And usually less than a minute or two into that run, he would begin singing the songs that drill instructors have sung for decades. Although truthfully, I think he adapted some of the lyrics of those songs because we were, well, chaplains. And that singing, it made a difference. It helped us pass the time. It helped us stay in sync with each other. It lifted our spirits. It made us laugh. It helped us endure more than we thought we could endure. But more than anything else, it made us one. And that becoming one, one unit, one group, one class of young naval officers still wet behind the ears, never felt like we were losing our identity. If anything, it felt like we were discovering more of ourselves by being joined to others in a common cause. Singing is powerful. Staff Sergeant Melendez knew that. St. Luke, the author of today's gospel reading, Luke knew that too. Luke's story about the birth of Jesus overflows with singing. It begins a chapter earlier with Mary's song, what we call the Magnificat, when she sings of God's favor and grace and justice. And then comes the song of Zechariah, the old priest who sings a hymn of praise to the God who keeps God's promises when his wife Elizabeth gives birth to their son, John the Baptist. Luke's collection of songs continues in the readings we just heard, as the angels herald Jesus' birth by singing of God's glory and promising God's peace and goodwill to all. Singing is powerful. Staff Sergeant Melendez knew that. St. Luke knew that. The angels knew that. And so did Hans Bauman. You may not recognize that name. Bauman was a German poet and translator and author of children's books. He was also Adolf Hitler's favorite songwriter. In the early 1930s, Bauman wrote a very popular song called Exalted Night, that was meant to replace Silent Night and shift the focus of Germans at Christmas time from the baby Jesus to the Chancellor. You see, the trouble with Jesus was that he was Jewish. And so many Christmas carols reference this. O little town of Bethlehem, once in royal David's city. O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, just to name a few. At first, the Nazis tried to change the words of all those carols to eradicate any mention of Israel or Judaism, but that proved impossible. So then they started writing new ones, and Bauman's Exalted Night, waxing poetic about the innocence and purity of German culture and identity, was the most popular of all. Yes, singing is powerful, but it is not always life-giving. Actually, this wasn't the first time that Jesus' Jewishness proved problematic. In fact, from nearly the beginning of Christianity and across the 2,000 years of its history, people have struggled with what theologians call the scandal of particularity. Why did Jesus have to be Jewish, a particular ethnicity? Or born in the first century, a particular time? Or a male, a particular gender? In response, the church consistently emphasized that the only way that Jesus could represent all of us was to become one of us. And to be one of us is to be particular. Think about it. You don't know any generic person. You and each one of us here is unique. So also with Jesus, to represent and redeem all of us, he had to become one of us, unique, particular, in this case, born a little baby boy to Jewish parents in the first century town of Bethlehem. And the central confession of the Christmas story that we don't simply hear read, but sing aloud through our Christmas carols, is that in the unique, particular birth of the baby Jesus, God joins God's own self to us. God commits himself to us fully and forever. God in Jesus gets us, understands us, knows what it's like to laugh and cry, to experience hope and loss. And if that's not enough, there's still more, because when God in Jesus is born as one of us, God hallows, makes holy humanity itself. Which means that every single one of us here and all of us everywhere have infinite worth in God's eyes. To put it another way, in the birth of Jesus, God says clearly and definitively that you matter. Your unique, particular ups and downs, hopes and fears, successes and failures, dreams and disappointments, loves and losses, you matter. And so does every other unique and particular person, created by God, in the image of God, and redeemed by the Son of God. Everyone is a beloved child of God. This is the good news the angels brought to the shepherds so long ago and bring to us again this afternoon. Singing is powerful, but not all singing is life-giving, which is why we gather. Not just to hear St. Luke's Christmas story, but also to sing it. Notice that when the angel greets the shepherds, he doesn't offer a command, go and see the baby Jesus, but instead makes a promise, do not be afraid. For I am bringing you good news of great joy, for unto you is born today the Savior, Christ the Lord. And tucked into that promise is an invitation, both to the shepherds then and to us now, to join in singing God's life-giving song of grace, hope, justice, mercy, and peace. Singing is powerful. That insight has been woven into the stories and legends of every time and culture. According to Greek mythology, for instance, the sirens were also powerful singers, but their song did not bring life. The sirens, you may remember, were winged creatures who lived on an island surrounded by rocky shoals, and they would lure sailors to their deaths with songs as irresistible as they were fatal. In fact, the ancient Greek myths tell of only two sailors who navigated their ship safely past the sirens. One, Odysseus, stuffed the ears of his sailors with beeswax so they could not hear the song. The other, however, Orpheus, upon coming close to the island, took out his harp, moved to the front of the ship, and played a better song. A song of such beauty and truth that the sailors had no desire to listen to or follow any other. That is our task now. We gather today, join together in common cause to sing of Jesus' birth because the world needs a better song. To those who have lost hope, we sing of God's love made visible on this still and silent night. To those troubled by discord and division, we sing of peace and goodwill to all. To those who grieve, we sing of the one born so that we no more may die. To those anxious about the future, we sing of Jesus who gathers the hopes and fears of all the years in himself tonight. And to those who still believe there are only some people who are God's people, we sing of the one who came to embrace all of us by becoming one of us, as particular and unique as each of you. We sing, that is, of joy for all the world, joy grounded in God's expansive and unending love for all. The world needs a better song. The world needs Jesus' song, and so we sing. Blessed Christmas. Amen.